Good morning. Welcome to our service from Christ Church today. We continue with our series called The Good and Beautiful Life. This is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, as we all know, government guidelines on what we're supposed to do or not do during this time of COVID-19 are changing all the time. I don't know about you. I seem to be confused a lot of the time. Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? But one thing we can be assured of in these changing times is that the teaching of Jesus, his guidelines, as shown in the Sermon on the Mount, are not changing. Obviously, the way we implement them may be, but we can be assured that what is written in the Bible is still as true now as it ever was. Today's topic is learning to live without lust. Now, this might be uncomfortable for some of us to think about and to consider, but it wasn't for Jesus. He talked about it. I grew up in a lively church which was very keen on denouncing all sorts of sins. And week after week, I would hear the preacher saying how bad these things were. And adultery was one of them. Aged about 7, I remember asking my parents what adultery was. "Oh, it's something adults do," they said. Well, that made it sound really, really interesting. And I realised years later that they'd only given me a partial answer. As we look at this passage, and Miriam reads it to us, and then Alan unpacks it, let us just pray together that we'll open our eyes and hearts to what God is actually saying about this topic. Lord, battling with lust is something adults do. Today, Lord, help us to listen to your word as we look at this topic. In your name, amen.
Today's reading is in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hi. Morning, everyone. Thanks, Miriam, for reading for us. As Cathy said, we're continuing today our series in the Sermon on the Mount, using James Brian Smith's book, The Good and Beautiful Life, as a resource. We're considering what living in God's kingdom looks like. We've looked at anger. Last week, we looked at lying, telling the truth. And today, we're thinking about lust. Jesus wasn't afraid to tackle the difficult topics. And in all these topics, he's talking about inner change of our souls, of our hearts, not just outward behaviour. Speaking to that deep thirst that we all have for things like joy, satisfaction, peace. How would you define lust? Now, we can actually have a positive angle. We talk about a lust for life, but normally it's used in a negative sense, and it's one of the seven deadly sins. It's this idea of a strong, intense, uncontrolled desire for something that overrides other emotions, something that drives us and can lead us, if we're not careful, to irresponsible action. It's most often applied to sexual desire, but it can apply to other things such as power or money, and even in extreme cases to violence. Now, our society, I think you would agree, is obsessed with sex. It's all around us. You know, you're watching a TV program or a film, a couple that don't know each other very well suddenly kiss, and the next thing they do, they're taking each other's clothes off, or the next scene is the next morning where they're lying in bed together, having spent the night together. The sex always seems to be good and comes with no moral consequences. The physical seems to have been separated from the emotional and certainly from the spiritual. And as James Bryan Smith says in the book The Good and Beautiful Life, the subtle message is that the good life is the lust-filled, sexually libertine one. And to be honest, I'm not sure the church has always helped us when trying to understand what God thinks about sex. If you study church history, you'll find all kinds of strange things being said about it. But perhaps most of all, the church is just silent on the topic. We don't talk about sex, do we? But I want us to be clear at the beginning. Sex was God's wonderful idea, a gift to enjoy. And sexual desire is part of being human, just like a desire for food or for drink, or for friendship and love. The problem comes when that desire turns to lust, or in the case of food and drink, it turns to greed and drunkenness, and that desire becomes all-consuming. Well, problems come when we don't observe the boundaries that God has given us and put in place in these different areas for our protection. These things then become harmful and destructive. Now, in this passage, Jesus lays out a couple of boundaries. First of all, he restates the seventh commandment on adultery. Adultery is sin. Sex is for marriage. But also, to lust after someone is a sin. Wow, the bar is very high. And lust is so serious, says Jesus, it needs radical surgery, shown by the idea of cutting off body parts. Now, obviously, Jesus is not speaking literally, or we'd all be walking around blind and with no arms. But what is the lust that Jesus talks about? It doesn't mean normal sexual desire. I think lust is about seeing others as a way to satisfy our own longings. Love values a person, lust degrades them. And lust leads to fantasizing about others. But simply, imagine you're walking along the road, you see an attractive person, and you're able to say that, appreciate that. But if you stop, turn around, watch them walk down the street, start imagining what you might like to do with that person, you're moving towards lust. And lust is not just restricted to men and sex, it can apply equally to women. Although women may actually fantasize more through romantic novels, films, or similar, where wonderful, handsome heroes whisk them off to a perfect life somewhere else. Or maybe our fantasies have more to do with power and wealth and relationships. Be honest, ask yourself, what do you fantasize about? What do you dream about? Hope will happen. And is that really helpful? Remember what I said about lust? It's a very strong, intense, uncontrolled desire for something that overrides other emotions. It drives us and can lead us to irresponsible action. I think we have to be really honest with ourselves. Do we struggle with lust in the broad sense that we're talking about it today? And if we do, we should heed Jesus' advice and take radical action. I think a very simple starting point is to be careful what we watch, read and listen to, and maybe the video games that we play, especially with pornography being so available on the internet. Maybe you want to try your own media fast. We'll hear later about Ellie as she did that. I think a media fast, taking a break from technology, is like cleaning up your mind. It's like a media detox. Now, I want to be honest and share with you, I don't watch any films rated 18. I'm even getting to think about whether I should be watching 15s, because moral standards seem to be dropping. And I also found a lot of newer TV programs are unhelpful. Now, I don't watch because I'm a prude, although you might think I am, but because of what I'm feeding my mind with, because I know that I'm weak and I'm vulnerable to unhelpful temptations, to the subtle messages that these films and whatever send. Listen to what Paul wrote many years ago in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And if you really do struggle with lust in whatever area, can I encourage you to be brave and share that with someone who you can be accountable to? But we can't just change by our own efforts. And there's a quote in the book The Good and Beautiful Life which says, "If it's just me against the lust, the odds are against me. Whatever it is that has hooks in you, and I've put down here sexual, romantic fantasy, power, status, wealth, etc., you will never be free until you find something you want more. It's not about getting rid of desire. It's about giving ourselves to bigger and better and more powerful desires. Life is not about toning down and repressing your God-given life force. It's about channeling it and focusing it and turning it loose on something beautiful. And that something beautiful? Well, it's God and his kingdom. And realizing as citizens of that kingdom that we're loved and known by God, that we're free to love others, to serve others, and not exploit them. And we can ask God to change our desires. It may not happen overnight, it may be a battle, but we can. And we can determine, as Paul exhorts us in Colossians, to look upwards and remember who we really are in Christ and realise where our future and our hope lie. Listen to what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Thank you for listening.
Let us pray. Lord, we come to you and ask you to forgive us for all the times we have thought, reacted, or acted in ways that are not in line with your design for us, the people you have created. Fill us with your spirit and enable us in these challenging, changing times to remember that you and your word do not change. We bring before you today those who are ill from COVID-19 or a host of other conditions. Those who are sad, bereaved, have lost their jobs, businesses, or their hope. Those who care for others, from our frontline workers through to the unsung kindness of friends and neighbours. We pray for our whole world in this pandemic. Lord, would you enable the development of more effective treatments and vaccines? And we pray that we would be a witness in our communities and contexts and take opportunities to boldly share the good news of your kingdom, helping people to see the good and beautiful life that is freely available to them. And may we know that you are with us and those we care about. In your name, amen. This week's soul training exercise is to have a 24 or 48 hour media fast. The idea is to fast, that is, to have a break from the continual bombardment of technology, and then to use that space to renew our minds and souls, to just simply be, or to do other things. This may be really hard for some of us, but actually, I don't think anyone has ever been harmed or died by doing this exercise. So let's hear this week from Ellie how she got on doing this.
As part of the soul training exercises in the book we're following, The Good and Beautiful Life, I did a 24-hour media fast. That meant no TV, no internet, no podcasts, radio or music. I was a bit nervous to start because I wasn't sure how I was going to fill the time or keep myself entertained. But I did it. So I just want to share a couple of things that I'm going to take away from the experience. So the first thing is silence. I normally like to have music or podcasts or radio on in the background while I'm doing things. So not having that was really weird. But as the day went on, I found that it could be quite helpful. So I went for a walk in the day, and it felt really weird to not have my headphones in. But I did appreciate it a lot because it meant that I could focus more on my surroundings and what was going on around me. It was really helpful as a time of reflection and introspection, just to be kind of alone with my thoughts. And I ended up praying, which I hadn't really planned to do, but it was a really great opportunity to listen to God and hear his voice and let him lead me in what to pray for. So it helped me realise that silence can be a time to listen. And if I've always got music on, then I've always kind of got distractions to some extent. And so that could be limiting how much I'm able to listen to God. I also thought about what I missed and what I didn't miss in the day. So as I said, I missed things like music and podcasts, but I didn't miss Facebook or Instagram or my phone always buzzing. So I think this leads me to think that maybe I don't really enjoy social media as much as I thought I did. So overall, if I could use one word to describe the day, I think I would say peaceful. Sometimes boring, but mostly peaceful. And so I think I'd like to try this again. Maybe just turning Wi-Fi off on my phone, which I found very kind of relaxing to be unavailable for a bit. And I thought that would really help me to rest better, to not have notifications popping up all the time. And I also want to try and include more silence in my day as a way to allow God to speak and to make space for me to listen to him and be led by him. So hopefully this was helpful, and maybe this could be something you could try yourself.
Thanks, Ellie. And can I encourage you to have a go yourself and maybe let us know through Facebook, the WhatsApp group, or email us how you've got on. So shall we finish with a prayer? Lord God, thank you for your words, your teaching. We ask your blessing on each of us as we have watched this time of reflection. May we know your peace and presence in all aspects of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.